Okay, Greg and team, thank you so very, very much. Good morning, everybody. Glad to see you and welcome to First Colony on this holiday, Memorial Day weekend. We welcome the Spivey family as the new members, and also it's really is an exciting time to see one of our young ladies in our church grow up here and have a missionary heart, and it's really, just pretty exciting for us that we get to partner with her in her missionary work. Glad to have you with us today. If you are a guest, welcome to the First Colony Church of Christ. And if you're a first-time guest, when this service is over, please stop by a booth right out here in the lobby called Guest Central and pick up a free gift that we have there for you. Okay, today I'm concluding a message series that called Vitals, where I've been taking a look for 3 weeks at three vital experiences that we as believers participate in. And I'm talking about baptism, as what we talked about a couple of weeks ago, baptism. And in our second service this morning, we're going to baptize a gentleman who's been a churchgoer for a lot of years, actually loved Jesus for a lot of years, but came up to me a couple of weeks ago and he said, you know, I've never been baptized and it's time. That may be where some of you, it's time. So, we talked about baptism a couple of weeks ago. Last week, communion, how that communion is not, it is not a memory, like we're going to forget Jesus. God meets us here, and there is something very, very powerful when a church gathers and experiences the Lord's Supper together. And then today, prayer, okay? Now, if I were to ask you, you know, what's a purpose of prayer? If I were to ask what's the purpose of prayer, you would probably say, well, I can't answer that because there's more than one purpose to prayer. Prayer is multifaceted, communication with God, and that's exactly right. But there are different purposes of prayer. Somebody would say, well, a purpose of prayer is to change things, to change situation around us, to influence, invite God's power into my life, into my job, into my relationships, into my marriage, into my home, into my parenting. That's exactly right. Somebody else may say, well, one of the purposes of prayer is intercession, to pray for other people. That's exactly right. That is a purpose of prayer. Someone may say, well, a purpose of prayer is worship. It's how we praise God or we give thanks to God. And all of those reasons are absolutely correct. But today, we're going to see in the life of Jesus another purpose of prayer, and it is deep and it is strategic. And it is powerful. We're going to walk with Jesus into the Garden of Gethsemane. And we're going to see how Jesus fights to be, listen, how Jesus fights to be the kind of person, to be the kind of man that God the Father wants him to be. Let me put some photos up here on the screen. You ever seen that place? It's called the Church of All Nations. Some call it the Church of the Agony. That's in Jerusalem. That's on the Mount of Olives. That's an olive grove in the Garden of Gethsemane. Some of those trees are 2,000 years old. In other words, they were there the night Jesus was praying. Let's go inside that church building, the Church of All Nations. Some people call the church not the Church of All Nations, but the Church of the Agony. There is the traditional site. It's called the Rock of the Agony. Traditionally, that is the place where Jesus went and time after time said, Father God, you're asking me to do something I do not want to do. You are... This site is located on the eastern side of Jerusalem. And in essence, God, Father God, was saying to Jesus, I want you to go west. I want you to go to the cross. And everything in Jesus is saying, I don't want to go west. I want to go east. Everybody in this room sweats. You may be sweating right now. But we usually sweat because we're exercising. Have you ever sweat because you were under stress? We'll sometimes use the phrase, you know, he was sweating bullets. Jesus sweat bullets of blood because he was under such immense stress. And part of the stress is, have you ever been so stressed in your soul because you knew God wanted you to go west? And everything in your heart was saying, I don't want to go west. I want to go east. Let's read this from Mark chapter 14. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. And he said to them, stay here and keep watch. And going a little farther, he fell to the ground and he prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, a term of endearment. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Take this cup from me. And the cup in the Bible is symbolic of the wrath of God. In other words, Jesus is saying, I do not want to be the one on whom your ultimate wrath falls. But we know the end of the story. We know that Jesus drank the cup. He drank it for us. And all of the wrath of God, it misses me. And it fell on Jesus. Most of you in this room have seen the movie, The Passion of the Christ. I want to show you just a brief clip again so that you might once again walk into the Garden of Gethsemane and put not just your mind, but your heart and your emotions there, because today I want you to be thinking about that purpose of prayer. One of the purposes of prayer is soul alignment. When God's asking me to go west, and I don't want to go west, and God, you need to know, in my job, I don't have to do anything I don't want to do. And in my family, I don't have to do anything I don't want to do. I am daddy's little girl. I am daddy's little boy. In my job, I have reached a point, I don't have to answer to anybody. And here you are, you're asking me to go west and everything in my power says I don't want to do it. What do you do when your will and the Father's will are at odds? Do we just go along, play pretend? Do we just pray our, you know, sweet little prayers and avoid this internal struggle? Let's walk with Jesus once more into the Garden of Gethsemane. The Garden of Gethsemane was absolutely pivotal. Pivotal. The victory of the cross was actually won in the Garden of Gethsemane. And had Jesus not gone to the cross, everything about his life would have meant nothing for us. You are not saved by the teachings of Jesus. You are not saved by the miracles of Jesus. You are not saved by all the kindnesses of Jesus. The Bible says that he purchased our souls, what? With his blood. And everybody in this room, we all know how it turned out. When the soldiers come to arrest Jesus, he gets up, he walks towards them, and from that moment on, there's not the slightest reluctance, not the slightest hesitation. Jesus moves purposely to the cross. And so the million-dollar question is, how did that happen? How did Jesus win the battle between his will and the Father's will? And the answer is prayer. But it was an excruciating prayer. But it was a prayer that slowly and surely aligned and realigned his heart. It aligned his will in harmony with the will of his Father. I want to remind you that Jesus was tempted to disobey, just like we're tempted to disobey. And some of you in this room, you feel like it's a sign of weakness that you have to really fight to be God's man. That's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength. It's a door of opportunity. You think it's a sign of weakness that you have to fight to be God's woman. That's not a sign of weakness. That's a sign of strength. That you're fighting to do that. And Jesus is fighting to be God's man. And he does it right here in the Garden of Gethsemane. And that's why I would underscore again this morning that one of the ultimate purposes of prayer is soul alignment. Soul alignment. Because everybody in the room has a heart that's prone to play out of tune. I know I do. My heart's prone to play out of tune. And regularly, I'm doing a knockdown, drag out, and trying to bring my will under the umbrella of God's authority and allow God to wrestle my will to the ground. And so when I want to go east, but God wants me to go west, what do? You pray like Jesus. You pray like Jesus. When I want to do the opposite of what God wants, when God wants me to honor my boss, and I don't really want to honor my boss, when God wants me to stay with my husband, you don't really want to stay with your husband. When God's asking you to go west and you want to go east, you pray about it. I mean, actually, you pray about it. You bring who you really are, who you really are before God. No platitudes, no flowery, you know, prayer phrases. God, here's something clear you want me to do, and I just don't want to do it. What do? You pray about it. You're very honest with God, and you say, God, I'm asking you to realign my spirit, realign my will so that I am 100% in sync with you. And sometimes you have to do what Jesus did, and that is go right back and do it again. Not just once, but again, again, and again. And God can do that. God can take the gangrene out of your heart. God can take the rebellion out of your heart. God can take the resistance and the stubbornness out. He's done it for me. He'll have to do it again because I am prone to play out of tune. You can't just, you know, get me in tune and I'm there. I'm prone to play out of tune. That's why every Sunday when I come together, I examine myself in communion. I say, God, where do we need to do business this week? You're for me. You forgive me. You love me. And you're asking me to be your man. Where do we need to do business now? And is there something, may I just ask you, do you need a Garden of Gethsemane experience? Is there something very clear God's asking you to do? It is clear. It is clear and it's hard. Where he's asking you to go west. And you're saying, I'm not going to honor my husband. I'm not going to work to get that gangrene out of my... He's asking you to go west, and you want to go east. But God can do that. But, gang, that's the kind of stuff you pray about. That's the kind of stuff you take into the Garden of Gethsemane. And that's one of the ultimate purposes of prayer. Not just to change stuff around us, but to change us. So, have you identified anything that you would take into the Garden of Gethsemane? And you can know that when you do that, God will help you. He will meet you. And like I say, you may have to go back time and time again, but you pray like Jesus, God, I don't want to do this. But if this is your will, I will take that step of faith, I will trust, and I will obey. Now, what about those times in your life when things are fuzzy? You've been there, I've been there. You're standing at the corner of walk and don't walk, and you don't know what to do. Things are unclear, they're uncertain, and they're fuzzy. And when God's will is unclear and uncertain in your life, I would again say to you, you pray like Jesus. You just pray like Jesus. A gentleman by the name of John Kavanaugh, he had a PhD in philosophy, and he was the director of ethics at St. Louis University. Back when Mother Teresa was alive, Dr. Kavanaugh went and he spent some time working with her in Calcutta, India. And after about a year's time of working with her, he was unsure about what he was going to do next in his life. In other words, he felt like he was standing at the corner of walk and don't walk. And he asked Mother Teresa, he said, would you pray for me that I would have some clarity in my life? And she said, absolutely not. I will not pray that prayer. He said, well, why not? She said, I've never had clarity in my life about anything. And he said, but you seem to have so much clarity in your life. She said, I've never had clarity about anything. All I have is trust. You often know the wrong path, but when it comes to the right path, it looks like you got several possibilities. And here you stand at the corner of walk and don't walk, and you're not sure. You pray and you trust and you take a step in what you believe to be the right direction, and you trust that it's not only on your shoulders, but that God meets you and God works with you and God helps you. If you ever feel weak in prayer, I've got some good news for you. You're not lifting it alone. I want you to read the scripture out of Romans chapter 8, where he says, in the same way, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. We are weak in prayer. In other words, we don't know what we ought to pray for. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. I love this teaching because he says, when it comes to prayer, you're going to feel weak, and you are weak, and it's not all on your shoulders. And when you stand at the corner of walk and don't walk, and when you want to pray about something, but you're limited, you can't see down the line, you can't see the future, you're not really sure how you need to pray about it, it's not all on your shoulders. The Holy Spirit helps you. When you're unclear and you're uncertain, the Holy Spirit, it's like trying to lift a bench. You're not lifting it all yourself. You're lifting one end. The Spirit's lifting the other end, and he helps you. And when things are unclear and uncertain, he helps. And when your heart is so burdened that you don't even have words for your prayer, he helps you. My son-in-law was involved in a funeral this past week. It's absolutely one of the saddest situations imaginable. I don't even want to tell you. It's just a tragic accident in the life of a family. And he flew out West Texas to help. And it's the kind of thing you don't even know how to pray. Have you ever been so overwhelmed? All you can muster is a groan. I've been with some of you in situations like that, and I've been in situations like that. I don't even know how to pray. All I can do is just groan, just mumble. And in those moments, the Holy Spirit takes what you cannot articulate, and he's your advocate and he's your helper. You see, you're not only saved by grace, you pray by grace. He looks at me and he saves me, not on my own account, and he hears and helps and responds to my prayers, not based on my perfect asking, but upon his perfect kindness and grace. Okay. Vital experiences in the life of every believer. Baptism. Communion and the Lord's Supper. Take communion every Sunday. Don't minimize it. Be a part. God will meet you and you will meet him. And there is, yes, the Lord is always with you, but where two or three gather, he's with us in a particular way. And prayer. And prayer. And one of the ultimate purposes of prayer is just soul alignment, soul realignment. When God's asking me to go west and everything in my spirit wants to go east, you take it to God in a very realistic way, okay? In just a moment, we're going to have prayer time. But before we do that, can I just kind of chat with you here for a moment? This is not on your outline. I just want to tell you two or three quick things about prayer. That if I were sitting down at your coffee table and you were a brand new believer, here's some things I'd tell you. And here's the first one, and that is, the biggest mistake you can make in prayer is not to pray. Don't beat yourself up about trying to become the perfect prayer. The biggest mistake you can pray is, in prayer is not to pray. Your Heavenly Father is just that. He's a father. And as a grandfather to my children, to my grandchildren, when they come up to me and make a request, I'm not saying, well, you know, you didn't use proper grammar or you didn't say it just right. So, of course not. I take what they say and I interpret it as a gracious father. Biggest mistake you can make in prayer is just not to pray. Second thing I would say is don't let a sense of perfectionism stop you from praying, because no matter what your prayer life is like, you're never, ever, ever going to feel like you pray enough, pray well enough, etc. You know what perfectionism is? It's that crazy human mentality that says, if I can't do something perfectly, then I'm not going to do it at all. Don't let that keep you from praying. You pray by grace just like you're saved by grace. Another thing I would say is don't stop praying. Keep on. Now, you know that in your head. I know that in my head. But there are times when I need that in my heart. Just keep on praying. Another thing I would say is that your emotions and your feelings are completely irrelevant when it comes to prayer. I'm not saying your emotions and feelings are irrelevant. I'm saying they're completely irrelevant when it comes to prayer. Well, I don't feel like my prayers get above how you feel. The Bible says your heart's going to condemn you. Your heart will condemn you and your emotions will go south. Don't let your emotions drive your prayer life. Let your faith do that, okay? Another thing I would just kind of remind you about in prayer is that it is not necessary for you to know God's will when it comes to prayer. Your job just to ask. Ask for anything, and then you let God sort it out, okay? You let God sort it out. And the last thing I would say to you in prayer is you might want to keep a piece of paper and a pen handy. Because if you pray, God's going to have an assignment for you. He's going to reveal something to you. He's going to want you to know something. He's going to want you to do something. And so you might want to have your shoes laced up, have a pen and paper ready, because God's going to point you in a particular direction. All right? Okay. I think we ought to spend a little time praying, and that's what we're going to do here in just a moment. Let me ask our worship team to come back up on the stage, and they're going to get ready to lead us in some songs as we pray. And let me also ask everybody, if you would please, to take out your order of worship. And in this order of worship, you will see a communication card. On the communication card, there are places there where you can indicate a desire to identify with our church. You can check that you'd like to talk to somebody about baptism. It's also possible for you to write out a prayer request. And a little later in our service, not right now, it'll be later in our service, we will collect these cards. But if you will fill out that card, write out your prayer request, then our church leaders would be honored to pray over your submitted needs. We'd love to pray about that this week, okay? So during our time of prayer, just take some time, fill out that communication card, and they will be collected later. Now, we come to a time of prayer where I'm going to ask our prayer leaders, our elder couples, please to come down front, be making your way down here. And most of you know the routine. You're welcome and you are invited to come down and pray with our elders about anything. It can be something that you want to celebrate. It can be an open door that you're asking for wisdom. Yeah, you feel like you're standing at the corner of walk and don't walk. You're not really sure. Whatever it is at all, we would love to pray with you. Or certainly you're invited to gather in groups of 2, 3, 4, 5, pray together, or just pray right where you are. But remember this, the prayers of righteous people are powerful and they are effective. And whatever you do, never give up. Never give up on the habit of prayer. The hand of God can do anything. Even realign a heart as goofy and stubborn as mine. The hand of God can do anything. And prayer moves the hand of God. All right, why don't you stand together? And again, you're invited to come down and pray with these elder couples. Let's pray, let's sing, let's enjoy the Lord.